Thank you for the invitation. It's great to be here with you. This is great. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful church. I'm super thankful. We have, well, listen, there's no service after this, so this is good. I want to jump right in to tell you, I'm going to be speaking on the whole book of Jonah today. And so Jonah is a story we're familiar with. And so just a quick little recap of what happened in the story of Jonah. God called Jonah and said, I need you to go to Nineveh and proclaim the word there. Give them an opportunity to turn from their wicked ways and I will save them, right? But Jonah says, nope, and he went the other way. So he went to Joppa, got on a boat to go to Tarshish. On the way there, a storm hits. You guys need to know that a storm hits every once in a while. And so a storm hits, and the sailors recognize that this is not a normal storm. This is not, something's different here. And they figured out amongst themselves that somebody's upset their God. Somebody's upset their God. They all had different gods at that time and whatnot. They cast lots, figured out it's Jonah, and they said, Jonah, what have you done? Right? Who's your God? What's you, you know, what do you do for work, right? And Jonah already told them that he's running away. And so they said, who's your God? He says, well, he's the God of all creation, the God of the land and the God of the seas. And then he says, throw me overboard and you guys will be fine. Right? And these guys are like, so let me get this right. This is the God of all creation, the God of the land and the seas, and you want us to throw you overboard. No thanks. And so they said, let's row harder, let's row fast. Nothing worked, and eventually they had to throw him over, and then immediately the waters calmed. Bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. Right? Great time for a Steven Spielberg movie to happen at that time, and then he's swallowed up by a fish, large fish. You know, sometimes we say whale, it's not a shark, but a large fish, and that fish carries him off. He spends 3 days in the belly of this fish and then gets dumped, puked out on the shores. And God calls him a second time and says, now go do what I've asked you to do. But in the belly of the whale, Jonah says, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. He had a change of heart because his heart was to run away from his assignment, saying, no, I'm not going to do this. And in fact, even to the place of, I would rather die, throw me over, than do what God has called me to do. But he had a change of heart, and he says, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And so then he goes on assignment and goes in and starts to proclaim this message. And the people repent and turn around. You know the story. But Jonah sits outside to watch this all happen. He sits outside to watch this all happen. He sets himself up a little lean-to. And then in the midst there, he's, you know, God provides a plant. And this plant grows up and gives additional shade for Jonah. And then Jonah is watching all the things transpire now after he's given this word for 3 days. And then down comes, and people start to repent. And then Jonah's upset about all of this. God then causes that plant to wither and die overnight. Jonah is angry about the plant. He's upset about the plant. God sends a hot wind, and Jonah is miserable about the plant. There are people of which he's been called to give this word to, which we'll get into in a moment, but he's not concerned about the people. He's upset about a plant. This story has less to do with a fish and more to do with a plant. He's upset about it. And so we pick it up in chapter 4, verse 9. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah replies, it is. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Did I mention that this is a plant? But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? You got the story. Let me pray, and let's get into it. So, Father, thank you for this word. I pray that you would open up to us this book of this prophet Jonah, and just have us be able to see what it is you want us to say, to know, but then also to do. May we be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word this day. So, Father God, I thank you. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Get glory in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me dispel a few myths about Canada. First of all, we are not a socialist government. We do have, as I've learned here, this term called social medicine, but we are not socialists. So we have free health care. In Canada, you will never hear anybody say, hey, we have social medicine. Nope. It's just health care. That's what we have. And so we believe it's available for everybody, and everybody has a right to that. We also believe that you need to wait a really, really long time before you're able to see a doctor. It is also another myth in Canada, it is not perpetually cold. It's true. We have four seasons there. Right. And I'm from Calgary, Alberta. That's where I grew up. Actually, we were living in British Columbia. Well, prior to moving here, we are living in British Columbia and the Okanagan Valley, which is the hottest spot in Canada. It's a destination spot. It is as hot there in the summer as it is here. We have about 6 months of beautiful kind of a summertime, right? And we have a beautiful spring. We have a beautiful fall. We have a short winter. It's wonderful. But I grew up in Calgary, Alberta. Calgary, Alberta, known for the Calgary Stampede. Anybody heard of that? Yes, awesome. It's also known to be bitterly cold, because it is. It is cold. Now, here's another myth I need to dispel to help you understand this story. As a black man, I tan. It is possible, right? The sun comes down and does not say, oh, black guy, go around. Nope. It hits me the same. I do tan. What has not happened, I have not burned in the sun. However, I have been burned by the bitter cold, right? It's called being frostbitten, right? Frostbite. And so in the very cold time there in Canada, in especially Calgary, Alberta area, it would be about minus 20 to minus 40 Celsius, which is about, if you're going to go say minus 30 Celsius, it's going to be about minus 22 Fahrenheit. Are you with me? Cold. And so what happens is, if you go out in the cold without proper covering or protection, you will get frostbitten in a matter of minutes. And so there I was after basketball practice. I need to get home, and it's about an 8-mile walk. And so I called my older brother, and I said, bro, can you come and pick me up, please? And he said, no, you need to walk. I said, Nigel, it is cold outside. And he said, I don't care, you need to walk. And so I walked home trying to cover my ears because I didn't have a beanie. I didn't have a beanie, right? And so I needed to, so I covered my ears. By the time I got home, though, for sure, I'd already been frostbitten on my ears. And so what happens then when you get into the warm temperature of your home, it thaws and it swells. And so it swells and then it shrinks back and that skin then burns off. And so here I am experiencing what a lot of white folks experience in the hot sun, this burning thing, and I'm experiencing it in the cold winter north, and my ears peeled off the skin on there, and so now it's pink and glowing. And in this situation, my older brother says, "Don't tell Dad." And I'm thinking to myself, how will he miss this? But not only that, I want to tell Dad. Do you know why? I want him to suffer. I want my brother to get the whooping that he deserves, because he should have picked up his little brother. But no, he told him, walk home in the bitter cold. So I want him to get the punishment. So I see my father and I said, "Dad, check it." Why? Because of your that one that you brought into being, that one, deal with him. And so my father dealt with him ever so harshly. And I was like, "Get him, Dad. Yes, get him." Oh, there are times when people get what they deserve that I just love it. Is it just me? Huh? No. I see some of y'all out there. You know, don't look at anybody. I know I'm talking to you. But you know, like if someone pulls up beside you, or you're in traffic, right? And they're driving like a fool, and you're like, "Where's the police when I need them?" All right? And then, of course, the police pulls them over, right? And you drive by, you're like, "Ha ha! Gotcha," right? Or you're watching a movie and there's like a villain in it, and you're like, "I hope he gets what he deserves." And at the end of the movie, it happens, and you're like, "Yes." Or there's a mean girl, right? And you're like, "Yes, get her." It's not just me. Jonah says of the Ninevites, they need to get what they deserve because they're a wicked, wicked people. Just a few books over in Nahum, you see how wicked Ninevites are. There are people that when they conquered other nations, they would chop off all their heads and make a pyramid of heads. And then they'd string out bodies all along the way because they are wicked, wicked people. Jonah says they deserve the punishment coming their way. I'm not going there. I'm going the other way. He ignores God's call. Jonah has the same call in his life that we do today. The same call that we have in our life. We are called to all people, all seasons, and all Jesus. So I want to jump into that. First thing is this, that we are called to love all people, even the unlovely. We are called to love all people, even the unlovely. Do we know that there are some unlovely people out there? Right? Don't nudge anybody. But there are some unlovely people, people that make it hard to love them, right? Hard to love them. Yet we are called to love our enemies. Sometimes we're so polarized with things, yet we're called to love people. You really expect me to love them donkeys? You really expect me to love them elephants? Yes! We are called to love all people. Vengeance is not ours. It is the Lord's. Vengeance is not ours. It is the Lord's. I am so thankful that we as people do not get what we deserve. Amen. That we do not get what we deserve. Go ahead and turn to somebody and tell them that God is not fair. Go ahead. No, like you mean it. God is not fair. He's not. God is not fair. I'm so thankful that God is not fair. Because if God was fair, if we treated God, or God treated us like we treated him, we'd be in a lot of trouble. How many times has God put a call in our lives and we said, "No, I'm going the other way." And God says, "Great, now I'm going to turn my back on you as well." No, God is not fair. I'm so thankful he's not fair. I was doing the worship for a funeral. A lady had lost her young son, about 20-something years old. And I'm sitting beside her after doing the music, and the pastor gets up, and he talks about God is not fair. And immediately she starts to say, "I agree. He is not fair. He is not fair." And I'm thinking to myself, "Preacher, you better turn this message around, bro." And then he lets her know, and he lets us all know, that if God was fair, there would be no hope for us. But because he's not fair, there's salvation for everyone. God's not fair. He's just. He's just. Amen? All right. You're warming up. Okay. All right. That was the first one. Second one is this. We're called to love in all season, even when it's out of style or unpopular or a storm hits. Called to love all people in all seasons. Seasons, I'm going to talk about three different types of seasons. Yes, there's the seasons of age, there's seasons of popularity, and there's a season of storm, of calamity. Seasons of age, we're called to love all ages and stages, right? I love that. Babies, you know, oh man, something about babies, right? Love the smell of babies. They're so soft and beautiful and noisy. Untimely in their crying, never sleep. Oh, when we had our first one, this thing, oh, noisy. I went in there at night to talk to the monster. And I said to it, our boy Denver, and I'm looking at him, he's just crying and making noise unnecessarily. And I said, as any good father would, shut up. And as any good mother would, my wife, Karen, calls from the other room, you cannot say that. And I said, yes, I can. And you shut up too. And she laughed, praise God. We all laughed, you know. That same kid grows up and you get the toddler stage and man, he could do no wrong. Oh my goodness. All the things that he would get into. And I'd be like, that's so cute. I love that. And Karen's like, that's not cute. I'm like, sorry, that's terrible. That don't do that. Yeah. And then that gangly pre-teenage stage, right? You know, where your feet are too big, your head's too big, they turn and you're like, right? You know, it's just weird, and then they hit that teenage stage when puberty starts to hit, and right, and they're talking, you know, voice is weird. Hey, Dad, how you doing? Oh, yeah. You all right there, Denver? Yeah, I'm fine. I just don't know what's happening with my voice right now. You know, they sound like a moose in season, you know. Moose is this animal up in Canada. That, okay, never mind. Okay. Anyhow, and then, you know, get to that young adult stage where they know everything, right? And you know nothing, right? Yeah, all of those stages, adulthood, being a senior, we're called to love them in all those stages. And there's sometimes in those stages, in those seasons of life when it's difficult to love. When it's difficult to love for various reasons. For us, it was a tough season. In the young adult, it was a tough season. But we were called to love, even our very own. I'm so thankful that God, though, was not fair, but that he was just. I'm so thankful for all that he did in the person of Jesus Christ. Because when we lost that boy, at age 24, I needed to know that there's a God in heaven who loves him even more than I. And one day I'll see him again. All seasons. Seasons of popularity. Scripture says this, preach the word in season and out of season. In season and out of season. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have in season and out of season. What does it mean to be in season? In season, when it's popular, When you preach a particular word and it hits and everyone's like, yeah, that's what we need to hear. Preach that word, preacher. Go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach that word in season, but you're supposed to preach the same word out of season when it's not popular. Same word, but do it with gentleness, love, and respect. Let me upset you for just a moment. The church has been terrible. It's been terrible on this message that we've given to LGBTQ+. Truth, 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 but no love. Oh, don't clap yet. I ain't done. But then on the other side, we've done love, 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 but no truth. And yet God says, in season, out of season, speak the truth in love, but do it with gentleness and respect. Amen. John, I don't know if they're going to have me back, but, you know. It's odd to me that sometimes we think, I better not say anything. You know, I better not say anything. I don't want to upset my family member. I don't want to upset, you know, I don't want to upset my friends. I see the thing that they're doing. I see what they're into. I see that it's wrong. I know that they probably don't even know their left from their right. They don't even know what's wrong right now, you know, but I see that. But I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that preachy person. I don't want to say anything. I'm thinking, it's hard to, in season and out of season. Is it just me? But God has put a call in our lives. And so sometimes I get couples that come in, and, you know, I have a love seat, you know, I used to have in the office. Actually, I have a giant couch right now, you know, and couples come in and they sit down and they sit on like one cushion, you know, there's two, but they're like squished into one, and they look at each other, I love him, I love her, and blah, blah. And then, you know, it's pretty and what, all the things, whatever, but then sometimes I need to look at either the man or the woman, and I tell them, don't marry this person. Don't marry this person. You're going to be in for a terrible experience. Anybody want to do pre-counseling with me, pre-marriage? Because I'll tell it like it is, right? But no, I love them so much. And for all those cases that I've given, right, that all those times I've said that, they've always ended in divorce. And it's been terrible. Somebody needs somebody in their life to just tell them the truth. Would you just tell me the truth? Yeah, do it with gentleness and respect, with love, but please tell me the truth. I would hate for it to be like on that day we stand before our King, our God, and you know, in heaven, and then your friend beside you that heard nothing from you. And then you say, well, because I didn't want to lose our friendship. What? Are we good there? We good? Yeah. All right, okay, good. Moving on. Call to love in all seasons, in seasons of storms. Do you know that a storm is going to hit everybody's life? A calamity at some point is going to hit everybody's life, and I would hope that you're on the right side of the storm when it happens. I hope that you're in that place where you have been called to be, to do life with somebody when they're going through the worst of it. To be able to say, hey, listen, I know a God that provides shelter. I know a God that provides covering. I know a God that provides protection and peace and renewal. Can I tell you about that God in the midst of your calamity right now? We had an occasion to take our leaders away and have a retreat, you know. So we're doing this retreat, and this is up in Canada, British Columbia, and so we're doing this retreat, and then overnight a winter storm comes, a terrible, terrible snowstorm comes, and we were stuck there for 2 days, right? Now, we needed to get back to our jobs of ministry, and so, but we are on the wrong side of the storm to be able to do that. I would pray that you don't get caught on the wrong side of the storm when calamity hits and you're not in the place of being able to minister and to give the word of God that you were called to. Amen? Okay. Last one. We are called to love like Jesus even when surrender is required. Called to love like Jesus even when surrender is required. I can imagine that into the midst of, Jonah gets spit out. He's in the belly of the whale for 3 days, the fish, for 3 days, right? He is looking and smelling miserable. I don't imagine that he had some Axe, deodorant spray that he put on. I don't imagine that he found some stand with Irish Spring and then washed himself before he, I don't imagine that. But furthermore, I also don't imagine that Jonah is going in with this awesome message with great delivery, right? Of just like, oh man, I can't wait, right? I have got to go tell these people. I'm going to do my, no, he walks in for a day and a half, and he's proclaiming this message. I don't imagine why, because he didn't want these people to be saved. He wanted them to be punished. So what kind of delivery is that? I just wonder, how do you deliver this great message of salvation? Hey, turn and burn. You got 3 days. Turn and burn, 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 3 days. So he finishes that message, right? And then he goes to sit down and see what will happen. And the people believe. And it says that they started to immediately say, and the king even decreed, hey, we need to go into mourning. We need to go into fasting. Right? And in fact, even the animals, put some sackcloth on the animals as well too. No one eat, no one drink. Let's go into mourning. The king takes off his royal robes and sits down in the dust with everybody and says, we need to go. And Jonah is livid. He is angry, sitting out there watching all of this happen. And he's like, I knew it. I knew God would do this. Ugh. This is terrible. You know, I am more surprised sometimes when people actually give their lives to Christ. Terrible people! You give them a message, you don't have to be you, great delivery and the whole bit, but they're like, yes, I believe. And you're like, what? Has that happened to you? I remember my first youth ministry position. First youth ministry job, right? And down in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. That's our L.A., Lethbridge, Alberta. Okay, great. And so we're there, and I got some high school kids there, and I was working at the high school. Some of them came over to working at high school, volunteering to high school coaching. Some of them came, and I said, okay, great. We're going to do these series, and we're talking about evolution and creation and this and the whole bit. And they're like, I don't believe any of this. Nah, no nonsense. I said, you need to come for the whole series. Come for all the whole series. And if you miss one, you start all over again. Right, so come for the whole thing, great, and they came for the whole thing, blah, 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 and then came to the time where I'm supposed to, do the gospel presentation and see if any of these kids are going to accept the Lord, and I thought to myself, not one of them is going to say yes. And so I got to the thing, I delivered the right of anyone want to accept Christ, and hands started popping up. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, and I was like, guys, I did not know what to do. I said, excuse me. So I left the room. I went to the bathroom. I'm standing in front of the mirror. I'm like, what happened? And it's like me and the Lord are having a conversation, and he is tall, dark, and handsome. And he's responding back to me. And he says, go in there and help them to pray to receive me. I'm like, right. Got it. Good. So I go back. The kids are still like, what's happening? And I'm like, so you guys still in? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, great. Let's pray. And then we start to pray for them to receive Christ. And I'm doing one of these. And Lord, seeing if, I'm like, wow, what happened? I don't know why we are so surprised. Why are we so surprised? Why are we so surprised? Even Jonah, to the worst of the worst, wasn't surprised. He was expectant. He was expectant because he knows his God and he knows how amazing his God is. We just sang about his amazing grace. He knows how good he is. He knows how wonderful he is. He knows that God is going to save them. He's expectant even with the worst. And yet here we are with our own friends and with our own family, and those people were like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to, you know. Is it just me? Is it just me? Why are we not expectant that God is going to do what only God can do? Let me share one more story with you. Beginning a camp, grandparents are bringing their granddaughter to camp, and their granddaughter does not want to be at camp. She is miserable, goth. Right, all dark, makeup dark, everything just miserable. I'm there early as the speaker of the camp for that week, and I'm just helping people with their luggage to get to their places. And then I'm walking with these grandparents. They look at me and they're like, help us. And I said, with what? They said, with her. And I look at her, and she's miserable, and I'm like, drop her to her cabin, and I'm like, look at their counselors. I'm like, good luck. I know that girl is going to be calling her grandparents to come and pick her up, you know, come and pick me up, right? And sure enough, she was on the phone night number one, night number two, right? And the grandparents are like, nope, not coming. It's too cold. No, just it wasn't too cold, right? They're like, no, they weren't going to pick her up. About a little over midweek, the counselors are just like, oh, we're at wit's end. She's got all these questions. She's all little, so can you please talk to her? And so she sat down on the grass with me to have a conversation, and we had a conversation and answered questions and all kinds of things. We did that. It's the last night of camp. We've already done the salvation message, whatever, the night before, whatnot. This last night, I just wanted to be of just celebration. What is God doing? What's God been doing? And how's he been speaking to you? Just come on up and share those stories, right? And kids come up to share the story, and you know, one after the other. And there's this girl, and she's like, okay, I just got to tell you, oh my goodness, God is so wonderful. And she's just a really nice looking girl, really pleasant, all the things, right? Just a lovely young lady. And she's just, right, kind of like our guitar player back here. She's like, you know, just jumping all around, right? And just wanted to share the goodness of God. It's great. And I'm standing over here and like, oh, this is nice, right? You know. And then she says her name, and then I'm like, oh, yeah. And I look back, it's Goth Girl, right? I'm like, and I say her name to her, and she says, yeah, it's me. Thank you for sitting and talking to me. I need to stop being surprised about God's goodness. I need to be more expectant. Who do you have in your life that you're saying, I'm expecting that God is about to do something amazing right now? For the boys I play pickleball with, I've got my Joe and my Jordan. I'm like, I'm expectant that God is going to turn their life around. I can't wait for the opportunity to keep sharing the truth of God with them with gentleness and respect. Amen. Who are you expecting for? Easter's coming. Easter's coming. Who are you going to tell about the risen Savior? Who in your family, who are your friends that you're going to say, hey, there's a message that you need to hear. There's something that you just need to hear. And then see what God can do. Milo, come on up, bro. I love the picture of Jesus that we keep seeing in this story of Jonah. There's Jonah laying in the boat in the midst of a storm. Does that remind you of somebody? Because Jonah knows full well that God is all creation, the God of the land and the God of the seas. There's this picture of Jesus again when the king of Nineveh takes off his robes and his royalty. And he puts on the sackcloth and he goes into time of mourning. He sits down in the ashes and the dirt and calls everyone to do the same in repentance. We have a king that took off his royalty and left heaven and said, I'm going to become like you and I'm going to sit in the dirt and show you a better way. This is why we can confidently say, I have a God who covers you. It's less about a fish, it's more about a plant that covers you and gives you that shading, that covering, that protection, and gives you hope. Won't you accept him? So in a few moments, we get to celebrate that very thing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've made possible. Thank you, oh, Heavenly King, for taking off your robes and doing what only you can do so that we can all be saved, all people, through all seasons, all because of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done and made possible. Thank you for coming after us when we've turned our back on you. Thank you for calling us again. Thank you for not being fair, but for being just. Thank you for taking off your royalty and being Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, as we think about those around us, those that we work with, those that we spend our days with, whether they be friends or enemies, God, you're calling us to love them and to tell them the truth. May we speak this word that you've called us to give with boldness and with truth and with love. Fill us again. Revive us anew to do that. I pray this all in the precious name of Jesus and all God's children said, amen. Amen.